I said, would you like to sing the Jai Radha Madhava praise? Because I don't play an instrument. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhyani. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhyani. Sodanandana Pajajana Ranjana. Sodanandana Pajajana Ranjana. Kamuna Siva Vanachari. Amuna Tsira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhyani. Sodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Amuna Tsira Vanachari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prabhupada ki jai, Kishore Kishore ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 5, and it's the last three verses of this chapter, so it's text 30, text 31, and text 32, and text 30 is the text with a purport. Text 31 and 32 do not have a purport. Unfortunately, our board writer somehow omitted to put the verse on the board, so everyone has their electronic devices. Excellent. So I'm going to read, or we'll chant together, text 30, and then I'll read 31 and 32. Nanam hi adrishta nishtoyam. Adrishta paramagyanam. O Jana, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati, Nanam Hi Adrishtanishtoyam, Adrishta Paramajanam, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati, Nanam Hi Adrishtanishtoyam, Adrishta Paramajanaham, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati. Please chant. Nanam Hi Adrishtanishtoyam, Adrishta Paramajanaham, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati. Manam Hi Adrishtanishtoyam, Adrishta Paramajanaham, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati. Nanam Hi Adrishtanishtoyam, Adrishta Paramajanaham, Adrishtam Atmanas Tatvam, Yo Veda Nasamuyati. Okay. So the word for word, Nanam, certainly. He, indeed. Adrishtam, unseen. Nishta Ayam, something ends there. Adrishtam, the unseen destiny. Paramam, ultimate. Janaham, every living entity within this material world. Adrishtam, that destiny. Atmanam, of oneself. Tatvam, ultimate truth. Yaha, anyone who. Veda, knows. Na, not. Saha, he. Muyati, becomes bewildered. And the translation for text 30 by Srila Prabhupada. Every man is certainly controlled by destiny, which determines the result of one's fruitive activities. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this also is due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered. Purport. Nanda Maharaj consoled his younger brother Vasudev by saying that destiny is ultimately responsible for everything. Vasudev should not be unhappy that his many children had been killed by Kamsa, or that the last child, the daughter, had gone to the heavenly planets. In text 31, Sri Vasudeva Uvacha Karavai Vashiko Dato Ragna Drishtavayam Chavam Nehaste Ambahu Tatam Santi Utpatas Chagokule, in the translation for text 31. Vasudev said to Nanda Maharaj, "Now, my dear brother, since you have paid the annual taxes to Kamsa and have also seen me, do not stay in this place for many days. It is better to return to Gokul, since I know that there may be some disturbances there." And then text 32. Shisuko vacham iti nanda dayo gopaham proktas te sorinaya yu anobiranudad yuktais tam manugnapya gokulam. In the translation for text 32. Sukadev Goswami said, after Vasudev advised Nanda Maharaj in this way, Nanda Maharaj and his associates, the cowherd men, took permission from Vasudev, yoked their bulls to the bullock carts, and started riding for Gokul. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 10th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagunagaragunatam Tamsa Vijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahinam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaguna Lalita Shri Vishaka Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapsa Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrindavanishvari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatribhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Namaham. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimata Roma Padaswami Tinamine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimata Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So I'll just read the translation again for text 30. Every man is certainly controlled by destiny, which determines the result of one's fruitive activities. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this also is due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered. So this is Nanda Maharaj. He's speaking to Vasudev. And he's emphasizing crossing the ocean of calamity. And this is a term that was used by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who's communicating something of the intention for Nanda Maharaj speaking these words. And this is the phrasing that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses to communicate Nanda Maharaj's thoughts. O brother, though the ocean of calamity is difficult to cross, you can cross it on the boat of discrimination. So this is what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is extracting from this statement, from this verse. that actually Nanda Maharaj is calling for discrimination on the part of Vasudev. And This calamity, I'm using Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's words, this calamity, this ocean of calamity that is there, that Nanda Maharaj is referring to, is that of existing within the material world. So the metaphor that's been used is that there's an expanse of water, and it doesn't have any demarcation lines. That's how one thinks of the ocean. It's so vast. This metaphor is also used by Srila Prabhupada. Now, Nanda Maharaj, he's calling for the making of a distinction while one is in the ocean of material existence. So one's caught somewhere, one little person in this huge expanse of water, and Nanda Maharaj is saying discrimination is needed here. And Srila Prabhupada, he uses the same metaphor when he says that it's necessary to have a distinct understanding. So that little person in that vast ocean of water needs to have this distinct understanding. So Srila Prabhupada also, when he's talking about the ocean of material existence, the person needs to have an understanding that he's fallen by chance into this huge ocean of material existence. So we see that the metaphor is being used by two acharyas, and both are calling for understanding. In the one case, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is calling for, you know, it's necessary to start making distinctions as you're in that ocean of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada himself is saying that one needs to have a particular understanding, and that is that one's by chance fallen into this huge ocean. So we'll see how the metaphor plays itself out. So one can say that this ocean, this metaphor that's used, this ocean of material existence, is such that just as an ocean has great depth apart from its expanse, is that there's a great depth of trouble or misery, literally misery, for one who is being somehow immersed in this ocean. And this misery or this deep trouble that's there has to do, most interestingly enough, it's very much interconnected with enjoying happiness or distress. So one doesn't think of enjoyment as having with it such deep misery or such deep trouble. But here it is. That happiness or that distress on a material level is due to the person's body and not to himself as he is, meaning that soul that's inhabiting the body. That happiness or that distress on a material level is merely due to the person's body. So going into this, how this is like that, means that in a spiritual state, that person that one actually is, the real state is one of enjoyment. There's actual enjoyment. So looking at this concept that's there of deep trouble that comes with the enjoyment of the body, that suffering that's there, it's coming from a struggle, a very hard struggle to acquire different kinds of pleasure. So this is where that deep trouble is coming from. There's a struggle to acquire pleasure. or different kinds of pleasure. And how it's related to that the deep trouble lies with the body, actually, it's that the body has senses, and these are the instruments that are actually going out to try and get the pleasure. So it's interesting because, you know, one thinks of the body as kind of static in some sense. You know, the eyes stay in one place, the ears stay in one place, the nose stays in one place. But actually, they're reaching out to acquire different kinds of pleasure constantly. And these senses and that body, it's being given by material nature. Now, there's an interesting distinction, because Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur is calling for a distinction or distinctions to be made as one's in this ocean of deep trouble or misery trying to acquire pleasure. So this distinction Lord Krishna makes, so we can take how Lord Krishna makes the distinction, and he says, this is coming from Bhagavad Gita 13:21. So I'll read the Sanskrit and then the translation. Karya karana kartritve hetu prakritir uchyate purusha shukha dukhanam boktritve hetur uchyate. Nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. So, the distinction is being made that nature is the cause of that connection with the material world, because nature is supplying the body. And also, with the body, nature is supplying the senses. Nature's also supplying the, how can one put it? There's objects that the senses are requiring. But the spirit soul, on the other hand, is the cause of the connection between material nature and the soul. And particularly, as being the enjoyer of that happiness and distress. So you see how subtle the distinction is. I'll go through it again, because this is what Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur is saying, that Nanda Maharaj is communicating to Vasudev. So nature is the cause of the connection between the body and the deep trouble that comes, because it's supplying the body. And nature, in fact, is the cause of all causes. This is what Lord Krishna is saying. But the jiva, on the other hand, is the cause of the connection between material nature. So the soul is the cause of the connection between material nature and the soul wanting to be the enjoyer of happiness and distress. So there's cause on both sides. Material nature is causing something just by supplying that the instruments, I guess, for being able to enjoy, and hence putting one into the deep trouble. And on the other hand, the soul is also the cause of making that connection with material nature, because of the soul wanting to have the enjoyment of happiness and distress. So there's cause on both sides. But one has to make a distinction. Material nature is supplying the instruments and the tools, and the soul is actually causing that because of desiring to enjoy the happiness and distress. Now, usually, like in anything that, like when you buy a product, there's there's always a little pamphlet that comes with it. So, you know, because I recently moved, then, you know, some rearrangement of the living space is required and how one's going to manage the living space. So I was always very much opposed to machines. But I learned over time that it's a huge struggle to really keep everything, like, you know, perfectly spotless. Like, you know, one gets more refined in one's requirement of cleanliness. So I've chosen that apart from, you know, regular sweeping and regular dusting and regular mopping, you know, a steam machine is most helpful for, like, getting to crevices, because, you know, you can't always get into crevices. So this is one of the machines that I've had to read the manual for it. So now you could say that that machine is going to be the cause of, you know, a great enjoyment on my part. I'm going to really satisfy my need for perfect cleanliness, because all the dust in every little crevice is going to be whooshed out. So, but that machine also in its manual lists that, you know, there's some dangers associated with it. Like, for instance, should you, you know, pull the cap off when the machine is, you know, at peak boiling point, you know, you're going to have a big blast of steam, you know, just suddenly coming out. So whereas it would be controlled if that cap is there and the steam is coming out of the nozzle. So you could say that, you know, were I to leave that cap off and I got that blast of steam hitting me and, you know, getting some burn, then, you know, the machine is responsible for that burn to have been caused. But actually, the there's cause from the machine, but there's also cause from my actually wanting to experience that enjoyment of, you know, absolute cleanliness, so complete cleanliness. So it's a similar thing. I mean, I'm just thinking on a sort of simple level to explain this concept. So there's cause both in the part of the machine, but there's also the cause from my, you know, wanting that extreme cleanliness. So now, one could say, and I mean, I've gone down a very philosophical route in looking at this verse, because this is what Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how he looked at this verse. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is very short, so I found myself, you know, expanding. So continuing on a little philosophical note, you could say that the person, the living entity, that soul, is blessed or is damned according to their past desires and activities. So, the person is blessed or damned because they're given certain living quarters to act out those desires, and they're carrying the results of the past activity. So it's all coming within the residence that one is getting. so sometimes you see persons, you know, you can see that they're damned. There's no end to the suffering. It's one calamity after another. And clearly, you know, what's happening is the past activities are now bringing the results, you know, super deep trouble. So if one looks at this, one can say that the body, it's made of matter, so it's acting under the laws of nature. So the minute the body is given as the residence for the soul that's wanting to experience that happiness and distress, it means that because of the body is going to start acting under the laws of nature. That's what comes with that residence. Just like I have in this new home, I've learned, I've not lived in an apartment before, we had a house, and I've learned that there's a board of people that manage this apartment building, and they've got bylaws. So should you by some chance bring a worker after 5 o'clock to, you know, hammer something into your wall, put your pictures up, you're going to get a big fine, because the bylaws are there, it comes with the building, that, you know, there can't be any work after five. It's same thing. You get the body, and there's some laws that are operating just with coming to live in this body. And that those the things that are coming with the body, those laws are, you're going to have to actually experience the effects of your previous activities. So you can't see it, those past activities, but the effects are going to play themselves out the minute you're inhabiting the material body, because it's operating under laws, particularly the laws of nature. So, you know, you find somebody has a child and or conceives a child, and perhaps within a couple of months the child is lost. So why is that? There's laws of nature operating with that particular body. Somewhere in the past, some activity was done that meant that that particular kind of suffering had to be gone through, both for that living entity that came into the wound and for the mother and the father, but particularly the mother, because it's, you know, an extremely traumatic thing, but it comes with the body. Some past activity, the effect needs to be lived out. That's the law. So, Nanda Maharaj here, he's saying, man, and this is Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, paraphrasing how Nanda Maharaj is communicating. So he puts it this way. These are his words, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Man is ultimately under the control of destiny. And in this verse, sadly, we don't have it up on the board to refer to, but on your devices, the word adrishta means unseen. So one is under the control of something unseen. And this is Nanda Maharaj's statement to Vasudev. Man is ultimately under the control of destiny. So something one can't even see is controlling one. But that is the body operating under the laws of nature, which means that all one's previous activities are now actually having to bear the results, and one is actually going through the results of those previous activities. So destiny gives happiness from children, but it also takes it away. So the mother who conceives a child is immediately bonded to the child at the moment of conception. And then if there's a miscarriage, there's actually great distress. So that's how destiny works. There's some happiness, but then the child is conceived, but then the child can be taken away. I recently got exposed to somebody speaking about this, having gone through this. So destiny means that there's a seemingly inevitable succession of events. Sometimes, very shortly thereafter, another child is conceived, in no time at all. So again, you know, who could actually dictate that that would take place? It means destiny is there. Destiny is giving happiness from children, but it can take it away. And this is something that Nanda Maharaj is expressing to Vasudev. So it's inevitable, the succession of events. So Nanda Maharaj puts it this way. In other words, this is paraphrasing from, I don't think it's paraphrasing, it's Nanda Maharaj talking. One has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this also is due to unseen destiny. It's an inevitable succession of events. It's out of one's control. It's going along with the body. So the person, you know, who loses a child, maybe within a month has conceived another child. Destiny is bringing that about. So now, I was remembering, you know, this topic of destiny is so big. When I was at school, I guess, you know, maybe 15 years old, One of the textbooks we had to study was this French play, Antigone. And the heroine, she's going to perform an act that's going to question the king's authority in Greece. It's going to throw a lot, bring about many questions. And right in the beginning, when you open this drama, she's actually talking to her sister, and the decision she wants to make is they have two brothers, and both brothers were killed at the same time. One brother was allowed to be buried by the king, but one brother wasn't permitted to be buried, this brother Polynices. So Polynices' body was just going to be left to the vultures. And so Antigone, because she's the sister, she decides that she's actually going to defy the king and go and bury her brother. So why he got dishonored, I don't know the exact details, I don't recall. So this whole focus back then was looking at destiny. What is destined? So, you know, she's destined to perform this act. It's destined that the city should be thrown into turmoil. It's destined that, you know, she's going to have to suffer a certain fate because of defying the king. So, of course, when one's 15-year-old, a 15-year-old, one is not very conscious of destiny. It seems that, you know, under the care of parents, teacher, you know, everything is perfect. One is well taken care of. One is certainly oblivious to destiny. So, but Nanda Maharaj here, he's drawing attention, Vasudev's attention, and he's generalizing. He says, fate is supreme. It bestows children, and it also takes them away. And somehow this verse has come, and I've recently spoken to somebody who went through this. The one child is lost, is not allowed to be carried through to term. A second child is conceived within a very short time. So fate is that control behind the sequence of events. You know, why it should happen so quickly. The person has barely had time to grieve for the first child, and now the grieving is going on while the second child is in the womb. So it means the second child is going to be carrying a lot of grief, and that child's going to grow up not knowing why it's carrying so much sadness and grief, why it's destined that way. It's destined that that child carries grief. So now Nanda Maharaj, he's reaching a conclusion. And the conclusion is, there is no one equal to he who knows fate as the cause of happiness and distress. One who knows this is never bewildered. So Nanda Maharaj is praising somebody who can actually know that fate is the cause of happiness and distress. So it's an extremely important understanding. And we find Lord Krishna, he explains the consequence for somebody who's not considering his happiness and distress as coming by fate. So it's nice to look at that too. So here's Lord Krishna saying, if you don't have this understanding, this is Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Krishna puts it this way. The jiva, identifying with prakriti in the form of his body, thinks he is experiencing happiness and distress, which are born from his mind. This is caused by the association with the body, which causes his birth in various bodies of devatas and animals. So, very interesting. Here's where the crux of the problem is. Somebody who doesn't have this understanding that fate is controlling happiness and distress means that the person is identifying with material nature. So it means that the person who's inhabiting that residential quarters of the body, that's coming with all its laws, is actually completely identifying with the what is being played out as a result of those laws of nature. and of course, by identifying with all that happiness or all that distress that's coming, it's leading to the creation of another body, another residence with laws. Because, you know, you're working under those laws, so you're going to get to inhabit another residence that's coming with the same kind of laws, because you're identifying with it. It just makes sense. So, now, this lack of bewilderment that Nanda Maharaj is pointing out to Vasudeva, just having this understanding that fate is responsible for that happiness and distress, he points out that the person who's attached to material nature means he's just following the way of life. He's just going along with life as it's playing itself out, either enjoying how he's associating with this mode or that mode, meaning his way of being can sometimes be a little bit ignorant, his way of being sometimes can be in goodness, sometimes his way of being can be a little bit passionate, but he's attached that person, if he is just doing that, he gets to transmigrate from one body to another. But the person, and the person, that person is all